End of the Blender, episode 37.
Listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week. Hello, kittens. You're listening to End of the Blender, and this is Viv.
Wow. This is Chooch.
It's a pretty, saucy kitten there.
That's the only way I know.
A kitten would be not.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That was more like a Lindsay Lohan kitten.
Lindsay. For soup fans out there.
Yeah. It's Lindsay. So, how are you guys? We know we can't hear you, but we're hoping you're doing well.
Well, I want to start out this time with some things that have been neglected.
Some feedback
that's been neglected.
From good people that we must address.
We keep having these other recordings and we get towards the end and like, we don't want to just tack it on to the end.
Right. So we're focusing on at the beginning. So we're going to start off with a voicemail.
Yeah. From my buddy Stu.
Hello, Chooch and the Viv. This is Stu from the loo. Anyway, I just got done listening to that latest podcast about Danny. That was pretty cool. And one of those podcasts he knew was coming, and he was excited to be at the podcast, but then he knew you were going to get moved by it. And I was. It was awesome. I only met Jamie a couple times, as you may or may not remember, Chooch, but he was a pretty cool dude. If I remember correctly, he was probably about 25 at the time, so he was pretty cool guy, pretty wild guy. And my biggest memory of Danny was we're over at your house, and he just was walking by on his way out, and he looked at me, and he showed me a picture of this one girl or something that he was dating. And I'm like, ah, cool. And he introduced me to the word sick, but in a good way, because he showed me the picture. And I go, yeah, she's pretty cool. She goes, and I remember he went and said, yeah, I love her. She is so sick. And I remember looking over to you, Chooch, going, and you look at me and go, it's a good sick. Ah, and at that point, everything was cool. And at that point, I knew what the word sick meant. And I started to use it and overuse it, but it was cool. So anyway, Jamie introduced me to the word sick. That's my big thing with him. He was a cool guy. And, my condolences go out to you and your family, and that's pretty much all I had to say for now, but I'm looking forward to the next ITB, and talk to you later. Bye.
Aww.
Well, thanks for sending that.
I think Jamie would be very proud to know that he was educating people as he was passing through his day, not even giving it a second thought.
The vernacular of the time.
That's right.
Yes, that was the 80s.
That's so cool. That's really cool. I dig that. Stew from the loo. Call anytime. Just not from the toilet.
Yeah.
If that's what that meant. Wow. So who was the girl? Do you know?
I don't remember. He was a player.
He was a player. Oh, yeah. Not surprised. I saw the pictures. He was quite the player. Yeah. He had that look.
Yeah. He was a rocker. He played in many, many bands in Hollywood. And yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic guy. And then we have an email from, okay now, Nuchtus. Did I say it right? I did, right? Mm. I'm not going to say that last name, though. Nimlas?
You just said you're not going to say it.
Right. I'm not going to say it. So our dear friend Nuchtus sent us an email regarding Jamie. She says, hey, Chooch and Viv. I've been meaning to write you since I listened to episode 34. When I listened, it just struck me hard. I was driving to supper and ended up continuing to drive till the end because I couldn't hit pause. Aw. I remember thinking, wow, I just can't imagine losing a sibling. And then I reminded myself that I did know what it was like, as my brother had died 5 years ago, almost to date, as I listened to the episode. Mm. Oh, I got goosebumps. Mm. So it kind of threw me, and I identified with a lot of what you went through. My brother also was living far from me. He was in Chicago, and most of my family was on the East Coast, with one brother in Seattle. Everyone ended up going to Chicago for the wake and funeral. When Viv talked about watching your mom and seeing the pain she was going through, it was very familiar, as I watched my own mom deal during my brother's funeral. My brother was adopted and a Vietnam refugee, so he still has a lot of family back in Vietnam. So what they do when someone dies is they videotape the whole thing. Now in Vietnam, they run ceremonies for weeks, but in the States, it was all shortened to 3 days. So recording is not so odd, and we did the video. It was odd to think about, but it makes sense in a way. I think often that I am over it, but you never really do get over something like this. I hope you know how much everyone supports you during this time and always. Thank you so much. Wow. That is really sweet.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And as I said, to be fair, you know, she wrote that a long time ago, and
yeah.
We haven't gotten gotten it in here.
Yeah. It's very sweet of her to open up, though, about her experience.
And when the response about recording was because I had asked the pastor if it was okay to record the audio of the eulogy and everything to send to my sister in Illinois,
right,
who couldn't come out because of health issues. She can't fly that far.
Absolutely.
So, Wow, that's interesting.
I remember when my mom passed, and, you know, I didn't want to videotape really anything about it, but we had made available a video camera at the, I don't know, what do you call it, a reception, the gathering, the food, the eating afterwards, the food and everything set up after that, in the hopes that people would say something, you know, I remember your mom about this, or I remember this about your mom. That would have been something so amazing. But we said, oh, you know, the food's out and we've got someone here that can help, you know, if you want to leave a message for the family. And it was almost like, it wasn't like a rude thing or anything like that, but I definitely got a vibe that people were really shocked at the idea of it.
Yeah.
Did you get that impression? It was like, what?
Yeah.
And it makes sense because, you know, they loved mom too. You know what I mean? But so many people that were in the room, she knew from work or from the neighborhood or whatever. And we had, you know, some of her friends from work I knew, I've known for, you know, since we moved to Virginia. But they knew her differently than I know her. And just to have that peek into any kind of a statement, oh, this one time that happened and it was hilarious. You know, just to see that other little side to them would have been amazing.
I remember that Jamie's ceremony, so we had the viewing, and then there was the, I don't remember the timetable now, but in the, there's like a gymnasium, so they were Mormon, it was at the Mormon temple, and so we had the food and everything, and they had a projector up showing some music and pictures of his life, and they had a microphone set up, and so everybody's enjoying their meal, and somebody got up and mentioned, you know, we have this microphone here. Anybody wants to come up and say a few words of what they remember about Jamie. And then at the end, like I said, Jamie was a rocker and a lot of his friends are a little wild. And, and towards the end there, you know, they're all about the motocross and all that. And those are some pretty wild people too. And he said, oh, and reminder, you're still in the church. Everybody behaved.
Yes, fantastically. So they definitely showed respect for him and honored him that day, that's for sure. Well, thank you, Nick Jessen. Thank you, Stu.
So this last weekend, I was actually in California and saw a bunch of family for my dad's 80th birthday.
Yeah.
He lives on the Colorado River, has a really cool place, and people came from all over the country to come together and celebrate his 80th. And my nephew and his mom, my brother's widow, had come as well. So it was really great to see them, and they're both doing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually been spending a lot of time with my sister who's out in California.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten together a few times for dinner and that sort of thing, and they had had infrequent contact before. It's definitely been accelerated now. You know, they wanted to make sure that Suzanne didn't feel left out or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's fantastic for their son to spend mm-hmm. time with your sister's husband.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a radically cool dude.
Absolutely.
And a fantastic, not father figure, not replacement or anything like that, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that you would want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah. So it was really good to be able to see them and spend time, and he's still racing and still riding. He has gone back to a public high school, so they knocked off the homeschooling, and he's been doing really well with that.
Mm.
There was some worry about, you know, getting mixed up with those public school kids and doing drugs or, you know, getting depressed and falling on the wrong couch or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's been doing really well.
The change might really have been what he needed rather than trying to go back to the same routine.
And they really started the homeschooling because my brother got ill and that gave them that opportunity to have a lot more time together. And so the intention never was to, you know, do that to the end of high school, I don't believe. But so.
Well, I'm so glad they're doing well.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I told you, but they are actually this weekend, I think right now, they went to Puerto Vallarta with my sister.
Oh, fantastic.
My sister runs a resort down there and goes down a few times a year.
Awesome.
And so both of them headed down there with them and our niece, and they're partying it up, riding wave runners and swimming with dolphins.
And we're sitting here with a dog that's sick and will pee every 5 minutes and potentially had, you know, colon blockage and needed surgery. It's not quite the same. I'm a little jealous. Swimming with dolphins versus, you know, taking Kaylee out to pee yet again. Feeling a little jealous.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic. I know they'll have a great time. I'm hoping we can get out there at some point.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We've been trying since...
Yeah, my sister's always left the invite open. You know, she goes... There's a couple specific times of the year that she goes every single year that we can always rely on, you know, knowing we could go then. And then she goes a few times that are, you know, unscheduled business trips or whatever.
Well, I don't know when those are. You'll have to let me know when those...
Mother's Day weekend's the one she does every year, absolutely guaranteed. They have a board meeting on Mother's Day weekend every year.
All right, well, we're going to talk about that because that sounds like a damn fine Mother's Day gift to me. I'll go and you can stay here and work.
Wait. No fair.
Well, it is October, and since we're kind of on the theme of, you know, cancer and loss and that sort of thing, I wanted to remind everybody that, you know, even if you forget the rest of the year, this is the time to go, you know, check out your girls, make sure everything's okay. Do the breast self-exam.
So is it actually like Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Yes, October. Every October. That's why there's so much pink ribbon stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And also keep in mind, it's not just women that get breast cancer. It's also men. I know men always hear about the testicular self-exams. You also need to be doing the breast exams as well.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have boobies.
Yes.
You must take care of the boobies. Actually, in the last couple of weeks, just found out that my former sister-in-law, who is my age, she's 1 month older than I am, was just diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer, which knocked me right the hell on my ass because I've known her since like the 5th or 6th grade. And it's just beyond my grasp to be able to compute that, you know.
And they don't even have a family history
of
it, right?
They have no known family history of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, you know, it's the strangest thing, but I'm so wrapped around the genetic that I forget that most of the women that get breast cancer have no genetic tie.
Yeah.
The vast majority. It's like, I'm going to try and put together some information for another episode just specifically on breast cancer, but just because you don't have a genetic factor. Like mm-hmm. I have, you know, on my mother's line, three generations passed away to breast cancer. My mom, mm-hmm. my grandmother, my great-grandmother, those are the known ones.
Mm-hmm.
It could be longer. We just don't know. And plus lifespans were shorter, so
yeah.
Who knows? But we've got three confirmed generations. And so I forget. My risk is higher than someone without it, but mm-hmm. more women that don't have the genetic factor get it.
Yeah.
So just because you don't have it, girls, men, women, check them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just lumps. There's something called inflammatory breast cancer. And there's just a huge, vast variety. So just any changes in your breast, go to the doctor and let them tell you it's okay. Don't mm-hmm. tell yourself it's okay.
Yeah. Because that early detection is kind of a cliche now, but that really is the key.
It makes all the difference. You have so many more options available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And your chances
very treatable now.
Are so much higher, you know? So it's not anything to sleep on, that's for sure. And I do want to say one thing that may seem negative. It may seem picky, but, you know, especially this month, you walk down the aisles in Target or wherever, and everything is pink. Support mm-hmm. breast cancer awareness. Support breast cancer
everything
research.
Everything has a ribbon.
Everything is either pink handled or pink colored or has a ribbon. You can get pink hammers, pink knives, pink cutting boards, pink everything. You will never find a bigger supporter of breast cancer research and support for victims of it. However, I take issue with the fact that people are ponying up, putting their money down on the counter to support breast cancer research and, you know, supporting those that have it, but you don't know where that money's going to.
Mm-hmm.
If you see, and I gave Chooch this example earlier, if you see a $5 rolling pin next to a $10 pink rolling pin that has a tag on it that says, part of the proceeds go to breast cancer research. If they're not telling you exactly how much is going to it, is it the whole $5?
Mm-hmm.
Is it 12 cents? You know, you could buy the regular rolling pin and take that $5 and go donate it online to, this is a staggering amount of charities out there mm-hmm. and organizations that will take that $5 and 93% of it will go yeah. towards that fund, 7% overhead or 3% overhead or whatever. So make sure your dollars are going to a valuable place. If you want that pink rolling pin as a point of honor, buy it. But keep in mind that that may not be going where you think it's going.
Yeah.
You know, there's research. There are, you know, we did a fundraiser last year to help provide free mammograms to people mm-hmm. in Hagerstown, Maryland, and that one we did with Jet.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that is tremendous. You've got women out there that don't have insurance, that can't get a mammogram, that can't get a baseline, or they can't get one if they feel something. You know, you want to support that kind of a cause. You want to support the education of it so people can figure out what they're looking for. And you want to support the research to find the silver bullet.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't have it yet. The treatment options are intensely better than what they were. But we don't have that silver bullet, that one thing, that cure.
Yeah.
And I think unlocking that will unlock the silver bullet for other cancers. You know, this one is a very emotional one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just asking that before you buy the pink apron with the big pink ribbon on it, that you make sure that you're buying it because you either, you know, if you're advertising for the cause, roll out, go for it, please do it. But if you're trying to make sure that you're getting your money to somewhere that will really, really help, do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
There are some big ones. Susan G. Komen, go to the, you know, you can go to the cancer, what is it? The American Cancer Society. What mm-hmm. is that big one? See, I haven't done the research. I know the ones that I always give to. It's just one of those things. You got to figure out what's more important.
Yeah.
Is it more important to you to support the local movement, the education and the treatment options and the detection and all that stuff? Or are you more, I want to find a cure?
Yeah.
You know, figure out what's more important to you. What is going to give you the most pleasure for your dollar? And that's where you should put yeah. your money. Don't just pick up something at Target and feel like, well, I've done my part.
Yeah.
Yes, you have. But did you utilize your funds to the best?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a shame that companies are short-sighted and tricky and jump on the bandwagon and do what's going to sell, even though they're not
yeah.
helping.
Well, and I'm sure they are donating a portion
right.
of the proceeds.
Yeah.
My question is how much?
Yeah. And that's one of the great things with, like, as a federal employee of the combined federal campaign. Mm-hmm. And we actually get a booklet, and yeah. it shows all these charitable places, and mm-hmm. it actually shows the documentation of what percentage is administrative, what percentage goes to actual research, what yeah. percentage goes to other overhead. And
it's that kind of transparency that I would love for yeah. everybody to see.
And there's a few websites that I've heard about that are doing that kind of tracking.
Okay.
I wish I had a link.
Yeah.
But,
well, maybe we can find a link for the CFC yeah. thing and include that in the show notes so people maybe yeah. they can see it. Yeah, I'm sure you don't have to be a Fed to see that.
Yeah, I bet it is up on a website. Yeah. Mm-mm. So it's great to know, you know, to encourage those organizations that are really
utilizing the money appropriately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That aren't squandering
it. So that's my pet peeve. I'm thrilled to see people wearing the pink ribbons and the pink shirts and the pink hats and the pink everything. But make sure that money's going somewhere. You know what I mean? There are things that I buy that are pure advertising for the cause. But then, you know, when I do my little CFC thing, I'm going to make sure that it's a charity that's going to actually utilize those funds mm-hmm. to the maximum, you know, benefit.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. Your name is Charles Cunningham, and you're a wealthy real estate developer. Good news. You die unexpectedly and find yourself in purgatory, the place between heaven and hell. Bad news. You befriend two other souls doing time there, the writer Edgar Allan Poe and a fun-loving beach bum. Good news. You still feel depressed about your untimely death. Bad news. You get a letter from God saying that once you learn some lessons, you can go to heaven. Good news. You don't know what those lessons are. Bad news. You decide to take the portal back to Earth with Poe and mend fences with the daughter you neglected while you made your fortune. Good news. An unfriendly soul, an enemy you made in life, is determined to follow you to Earth and keep you from winning passage to heaven. Bad news. Did I mention the enemy is a jilted ex-lover with a rather nasty disposition, a limited conscience, and a willingness to kill if necessary? Really bad news. Purgatory is the new supernatural time travel comedy novel from Tim Dodge, the author of Acts of Desperation. Subscribe to the free podcast today at www.purgatorynovel.com. It's an otherworldly experience.
You know, and then we actually had some other feedback. Mm-hmm. We had a comment on the site from our friend Moonlight that says, yay, new cast. Wait, new list. Wait, what? You were about yeah. to say something.
The email comment on the site, Twitter, whatever, our audiobook reviews really struck a note. People have really enjoyed it.
Well, that, I mean,
that's great.
When you go and you pull up audiobooks or you look at iTunes and you look at, you know, podcast books, mm-hmm. there's so many out there. Mm-hmm. I think people are always happy. I know I am when somebody says, oh, I really enjoyed this. Oh, quick, yeah. let me write it down. Let me grab that real quick. But yeah, so the comment from Moonlight was, yay, new list. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your book reviews. The last one got me started into audiobooks and now I'm always looking for the next story. Thank you. So Moonlight, do you got any that you like that we haven't mentioned? Because we're always looking for another good book. Although, truthfully, I really need to do... No, I'm not even going to say it because I'm going to get so much scorn. You know what I'm thinking.
No.
I need to do Lord of the Rings. Huh. I got scorn. Do you remember the look on Patrick McLean's face when I said that right. I had never read Lord of the Rings? It was, I don't think I can be your friend. And then it was, no, I can. No, I can't. It's like, oh, I get so much disdain for that. I have to handle that. So, yeah. But yeah, if you guys have stuff that you really enjoy, send it to us. We'll, you know, listen to it. And it may take us a while. But if we like it, we'll definitely share it with others. We then also have an email from our buddy Zach Ricks. Mad poet, creator and genius behind Geek Survival Guide.
Yes.
Says, just wanted to say I really enjoyed the episode this week. Hearing other people talk about the podcast novels they enjoy is always interesting. I haven't listened to Murder at Avedon Hill yet. Don't tell PG. Well, nope. I don't think PG listens, so I wouldn't worry.
You're probably safe.
Yeah. Largely because I just don't have time. I'm listening to so many different things that the fiction has sort of taken a back seat. But what I have been listening to lately is Sigler's Nocturnal. Yes, only what? A year late? You know, I don't judge.
And that's a cool thing. Yeah. They're always there.
They're always there. You can always listen to it. I'm a podcast novel hoarder. I like to save the episodes until I have them all and then mainline them in a great, glorious podcast novel binge.
Sounds like somebody I know.
Sounds like me. Largely because I hate being cliffhangered. Also, I am impatient. And I know that if I start on something, I am going to want the next chapter immediately. I get that from my mom. I made the mistake 1 year of getting her the first book of Belgariad for her birthday and letting her buy the next two books so I could read them. I was not the most ethical person as a child. And wouldn't you know it, books 4 and 5 didn't come out for a long time, or at least it felt that way. I was in trouble for a while there, let me tell you. Meanwhile, seems like there are big changes afoot at the compound. I hope everything there is going well. You guys are in my thoughts and prayers. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
We are going through some big changes. And I'm the same way about the podcast novels. It's very rare that I will start a brand new one that I have no association with, meaning I haven't listened to a previous book or, you know, season or whatever. It's very rare that I will start one unless it's complete.
Right.
And it's for that reason. The problem is when you listen to one that's really fantastic, and then that author puts something out like, oh, I don't know, Heaven Season 5 War, and I'm already just like a total fangirl and in adoration of that. Or, oh, I don't know, Nathan Lowell's Captain's Chair. I can't wait. It's painful.
Mm-hmm.
We have he's just released 5 more episodes since I last downloaded. 5 more episodes.
It's a machine.
And I've got the DTs. You got mad at me because we said, we'll listen to him in the car tomorrow.
Right.
We've got hours of driving to do tomorrow. We'll listen to him in the car tomorrow. And Chooch caught me listening to him. He was like, you're cheating. And I'm like, I can't wait. Oh, fine. If it's going to cause a divorce, I guess I'll wait till tomorrow. But it's just one of those things where you get really hooked on an author's style or the series or whatever. And it's just, it's painful to wait until they all come out, but it's also painful to wait and find out what happened after that last one.
Yeah.
And that is that, I mean, that is the hotness right now.
Yeah.
For me,
It's
Heaven Season 5 and it's, you know, Captain's Chair.
And I've loved all of this series, all of Nathan's writings, but, you know, I'd really want to hear what's going to happen to Mr. Schubert and Mr. Zach Ricks.
I know. You guys are troublemakers.
And Mr. Hill.
And Mr. Hill. I feel sorry for Zach.
We got to do ship suit uniforms for Balticon.
I know. I'm just getting such a kick out of that. You guys.
I have to see where Paulette got hers.
Yeah, you should, because she worked really hard on finding that.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. I just love it. The scene where the character that's named after you is introed, I cracked up. I was like, that is so Chooch. He's such a prankster. Yeah, it's fantastic and it's an absolute joy. And it's an extra like little zing to you to have your name in there, because you're like, oh no, I got to really find out. What do other people know that I don't know about the character named after me? You know, kind of thing. It's cool. So... And I'm also listening to, I had finished Singularity, Bill DeSmet's Singularity, which, wow, that was fantastic.
Right. Yeah, we talked about it before. We talked about, and then I told you, oh, and you need to listen to Dr. Jack.
Well, remember I had stopped listening to Singularity because I was working on something.
Oh, right.
And it was messing me up. So it's a long story, guys. I won't explain. But the big brain factor of Singularity was messing me up. So I had to stop for a little while, but I finished it. And, oh my God, it's freaking fantastic. I love it. So then, you know, Chooch had mentioned Dr. Jack's Soapbox. So I started listening to that. My brain is not big enough. All I can say is rawr, because I'm so velociraptored on this. It's insane. I am frequently backing up to the beginning of an episode because I get the puppy dog head tilt and I'm like, murr. Now, for those of you that don't remember, Dr. Jack's Soapbox is, in Singularity, there's this physicist Mm-hmm. This character that's in the book, it's based on somebody that Mr. DeSmet knows. Mm-hmm. And so after this was written, the guy that the character was based on said, oh, well, let me explain some things. So he kind of lays out, it's like soapbox seminars, mm-hmm. and he explains naked singularities and black holes and all of this stuff, gravitational pull within the naked singularity and why it's a bad thing. And trust me, it's a bad thing. It's not good. So, but he goes and he's just like, painful on the brain. I'm telling you, it's like, these are really big thoughts for my wee little brain. So I will have to back it up to make sure that I have my little childlike grasp of it. But it's fantastic. And I love that he does the voice, the Jack Adler voice, which uh-huh. is the name of the character that he yeah. in the book. He does that for when Dr. Jack is talking, mm-hmm. and then he goes back to his voice, and then he'll drop into that very sexy Russian accent. Oh my God, y'all. He can rock the sexy Russian accent, let me tell you. But it's just, it's really good. It's nonfiction. Once you get past the fact that it's a fictional character that's right. quote telling you this stuff. But it's
talking about real physics.
It's hard science. It is hardcore science. It's big brain stuff, mm-hmm. to be sure. So, you know, I'm really enjoying that, what I understand. And then I've actually just started, I've listened to bits and pieces of the Penny Arcade podcast with you, mm-hmm. but I've actually started listening to it on my own in the car. You know, when Dr. Jack has fried my brain and I just need to giggle about MMOs or Felicia Day or something, you know. And then you're listening now to something that a friend of ours.
Yeah. Well, I did actually start Leviathan Chronicles, which I said I was going to try to start. And so I've gotten through the first couple. So I'm still very early on that.
And you actually mentioned Leviathan Chronicles on our last podcast. Yeah. And we actually met the author while we were at Dragon Con.
Yeah. So I was saying it's something I'd always heard about and people really seemed to like it. So it was on my list. Yeah. But after meeting Christoph, he's just such a fascinating
he's
guy.
He's fantastic.
I thought, oh. All right, I got to start it.
Yeah. We met Christoph and his wife at Dragon Con. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was, I even told him, I said, I'm sorry I haven't listened to Leviathan mm-hmm. Chronicles. It's sitting on my iPod, though. And he mm-hmm. said, and it's a great place of honor to be sitting on your iPod. I mean, he's just like this, you know, he's not like, oh, you need to listen or, you know, oh, whatever. You know, he's just like this really fantastic person, you know. And so and I was meeting, like, oh, well, now I have to listen.
Robin, who's the sound engineer for Leviathan.
Yes.
And he and I got to geek out about some audio stuff yes. and equipment and software and stuff like
he's
that.
He's a little more shy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which I can understand. But, you know, yeah, I didn't really get to crack that nut. You know, I'm glad you guys got to geek out because I didn't really get a chance
good
to talk to him.
Dinner with Steve of Geek Cred and uh-huh. Robin. So, so I started that. I wanted to mention I started it, though, you know, enjoying it, but I've only gotten into two. And then I also started Tim Dodge's Purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think we're going to play the promo for it.
Oh, cool.
And so I hadn't listened to any Tim stuff before. I mm-hmm. met him a couple times. We met him at BaltCon. And really fun guy.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying the story so far. Yeah. It's recently launched. I think he's 6 episodes in.
Okay. So I'll wait. Because I'm impatient.
And he really talks about from episode 1 that uh-huh. in a way it was inspired by Murr in her I Should Be Writing podcast.
Really?
Where she talks about where ideas come from and originality and stuff like that and how people... Some writers say that they're afraid to listen to other stuff because mm-hmm. they don't want to unintentionally copy things or whatever. And how the best writers actually do read a lot and listen to
a
lot.
I would think so.
And don't ever be afraid of cross-pollinating or don't ever be afraid of using the same idea because people can start with an idea and take them in completely different directions.
Absolutely.
And so, and he had this story idea for a while about heaven and purgatory and stuff, and she had started heaven, and mm-hmm. so immediately he wasn't going to do it until he listened to her talking about that on her writing podcast.
Oh, wow.
And said, all right, I'm gonna write it. And so this is about a guy who's in purgatory and goes back to earth and
so it'll be cool
and
to
he
hear
actually meets up with
that.
Edgar Allan Poe, and it's him and Poe going through modern earth together.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh.
I'm really enjoying it.
Well, Tim's definitely a cool guy, and he's a talented guy. Mm-hmm. That dude will throw down with a guitar at a moment's notice. He wowed me first at Balticon because, mm-hmm. you know, we were at the Personal Effects Dark Art book launch party, and it was also Christiana's Nina Kimberly book launch party. And so there was, you know, just a mass of people. It was a fantastic, amazing time. I think we probably talked about it already.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Heather Welliver was there with her husband, Mark Bailey, and mm-hmm. the baby. And Tim just pulls out a guitar and says, oh, by the way, I learned all the music for the songs Heather did with the Shillas in case you wanted to sing along. And she was like, I haven't looked at those lyrics in a long time. But he sat down and by God, he had learned all the music.
Uh-huh.
And they sat there and he played and she sang and it was fantastic. And then, which we're probably going to do a Dragon Con rundown. I don't think we're going to have time to do it now. But just quickly, we were in the hotel room having our losers party after the Parsecs, which we didn't win. PG didn't win. Christoph didn't win. Christiana mm-hmm. didn't. There were so many of us that didn't win.
Right.
And so everybody came back to our room, ended up there. And he and Kim Fortuner,
right,
comic book goddess, sat down. Well, no, it was Patrick McLean and Kim wrote the lyrics.
Kim had mentioned to Patrick that she had had this lyric going through her head
about,
it was the Muppets Rainbow Connection, but about the zombies, connection. The line was, you know, why are there so many films about zombies?
Right.
And Patrick's like, oh,
let's write
we need
it.
To make this happen.
And that's,
so they
that's
sat
just
down
Patrick
with a laptop
right there. Yeah.
And started writing the lyrics. And Tim pulled out, actually it was Kim's guitar, he borrowed Kim's guitar and started noodling out how all the chord progression went.
So he taught himself how to play Rainbow Connection
and
while they were finishing up the
30
lyrics.
30 minutes, they wrote the lyrics, he had the music figured out. 30 minutes later, they recorded it.
Yep. It was fantastic. Can we put that in the feed? Are we allowed to?
Well, I actually talked to both of them
and
we're working on doing a re-recording.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to record percussion and bass and some other instruments. And do a fresh cut.
Remember at that one part where you were going, we got to get like the people that were in the room to record it. We'll get Christoph and Allie and PG and Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get everybody that was in the room because I've got pictures of when that was going on so I can recreate who all was in the room. We'll get everybody that was in the room to do zombie noises and add that in there. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
So they're going to send in some audio.
Oh,
all
right.
We're
going
to put together a remastered zombie connection.
Oh, how exciting. Because I know that she took her recording of it and it's up on Fump now.
That's right. Yeah.
And PG actually played it during one of the Tales of the Children, the first one. So, yeah, we'll get some zombie noises.
And Tim put it in his feed, too.
Oh, so cool.
If you go to timdodgestories.com, you can grab it.
But anyways, I mean, that's Tim. Tim threw down. And that's also a little insight into Patrick McLean. And he's like, all right, let's write it. Boom, done. Patrick's just a powerhouse. He will sit down with that computer and just write out some brilliance. It's amazing. So that's what we're listening to now.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to say we got a voicemail from Novellas.
That's right.
And it was about that same discussion about the patio book stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to play that?
I should probably play that.
Hi, Church. Hi, Viv. This is Nobilis calling. Thanks for your kind words about Pieces. Just to clarify, Pieces is 14 episodes by 7 different authors. Each author gets 2. There was myself, Christiane Ellis, Philippa Ballantyne, Brandon Crows and John Tanzer from Second Shift. There was... I'm doing this all off the top of my head. And I can't remember. It's all there. There are some wonderful authors, and it's great to hear someone enjoying it. Because mostly for me it was a writing exercise, and just to have somebody say, wow, that writing exercise that you just kind of did for learning something for yourself, that really entertained. And that's a great thing to hear. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, it's our pleasure, Nobilis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thank you for that. And I did actually go, because it was driving me crazy, too. You can tell Nobilis, it's driving him a little batty that he can't remember the other names. The authors that took part in that fantastic project, it was obviously Nobilis, Christiana Ellis, Chris Lester, Gray Dancer, Paul S. Jenkins, Philippa Ballantyne, Brandon Crows, and John Tanzer, they took turns on their part. So it's 7 sets of authors. Everybody did their own, but, you know, Brandon Crows and John Tanzer. And they were the ones from Second Shift, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second Shift, which has got me totally cliffhangered.
Which we did mention in our roundups, too.
Just sitting there, not updating with new episodes.
Yeah. Well,
it's a little painful.
We knew that going in.
I didn't know that going in. When you got me hooked on it, I thought it was a complete work.
I knew that going in.
You bastard.
Season 1 was complete.
I'm going to smack you right from here. I'm going to make my arm stretch out and reach all the way across.
And I've subscribed and downloaded all of Pieces, but I haven't listened yet.
I did enjoy it. Now, if you the where I went to on the podiobooks.com website, where I was able to find the names of all the authors, I kind of skimmed through the comments that people had left. And one of the comments was that there were, you know, what did they say? Cracks in the storyline. There were, you know, and to me, yes, you've got different writing styles. You've got different authors. You've got a story heading down one direction. I think we mentioned it. Another writer comes in and it goes in a different way. And that's kind of, to me, the neat thing with it is how does the next author coming in juggle it with their vision? I was really intrigued. Is it, you know, the single greatest writing of all time? No. But I think it's a very successful experiment. I think I think on its own, it stands very well. And like I said, I'd like to see it expanded on.
Cool.
So thank you for the call, Nobilis. Appreciate it. And,
just a quick note that I've been really spoiled the last few weeks. I didn't realize that Nobilis works really close to where I work.
Oh, I hate you. Oh, you guys, I hate you right now. Go ahead, and tell your story.
T. Morris had started a new job that happens to be very near where I work.
Yes.
And
can you tell I'm bitter?
Paul Fisher kind of works pretty close to where I work.
Guys, if you could see the body language right now, Chooch has totally pulled himself in a totally protective stance. He's got his leg crossed in front of his, you know, family jewels, and he's just very, like, enclosed right now because he knows I'm going to pop him.
So once a week, the four of us, Paul Fisher and Dee and Nobilis and I, have been getting together for lunch.
Gentleman's lunch.
And it's been really cool.
Yeah.
It's always inspiring talking to these guys.
Yeah.
And really gets you pumped to go back and create stuff and get working and just talk about, you know, life and everything. And it's been really cool. And I did mention on Friday, I gave them the heads up that if you happen to get a job closer to my work and we start carpooling, that it will no longer be a gentleman's lunch.
How
and
did they
they're
take
totally
that?
Down with that.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
I'll have my little boy harem at lunch once a week.
Uh-huh.
I think I could handle that. Well, we'll see how it goes. I'll force myself onto the group once and we'll see if they still feel that way, because it is you four gentlemen, and I get that. Boys need their boy time, but I'm so jealous as I sit by myself on Fridays, knowing that you're going some fantastic place with fantastic people, and I'm eating the same old salad every day. No, but I am really happy for you. I'm horribly, soul-wrenchingly jealous, but I'm very happy for you. No, I've seen a difference. You're definitely, it's definitely been good for you to have hang time with the boys.
Yeah.
So I'm glad for that. JK. So, you know, at the end of Zach's email, he mentioned that, you know, big changes are afoot, and we're still trying to roll with them, you know.
Yeah.
LT is living with his dad. M is doing the college thing. He finished his first, you know, grading period, and he did great. And, you know, it's really hard adjustment. And suck it up, cupcake, pretty much. That's pretty much it. I think we do need to do a Dragon Con rundown that's on its own.
Yeah.
Because I think we'll
get a little wordy. Yeah, we should probably wrap up.
Yeah. This has been fun. I've missed podcasting with you.
Me too.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to you guys soon. Hopefully we'll get a Dragon Con or something like that rundown in the next couple weeks in the feed. We're still acclimating and trying to get a handle on things, and we have a sick puppy right now.
Yeah, poor Kaylee.
Yeah, so anyways, we're off to check on the puppy, and hope you guys have a great work day, weekend day, evening, morning, whatever it is when you're listening to this.
All right, take care.
Bye. Just sit back and indulge for a minute.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.